Hare Krishna. We'll be discussing on Ramayana. So today and day after tomorrow, we'll be discussing from Sri Ramayana. This is a verse from the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 14, chapter entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. You can please repeat after me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Baddha or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshwaram. Although maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. Shvetashvatara Upanishad, 4th chapter, 10th verse. We'll continue the purport on day after tomorrow. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Etkripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa-sindhubhyayevacha, patitanam pavanebhyo, vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I seek permission and blessings of all of the assembled Vaishnavas here so that I can serve sincerely and please all of you and also purify my own heart So the Bhagavad Gita, the verse we have taken, speaks about surrender to Krishna's superior energy. If you surrender to Krishna, maya metam tarantite, we can easily cross over the ocean of material existence. It's interesting, in this world, surrender is not a popular word. Surrender is often considered as a bad word. People think, oh, in spiritual life you have to surrender to God. They think it's some kind of slavery, that you are giving up everything for God. But as devotees we know that surrender, although we may not have the realizations of the higher aspects of surrender, but we know that Srila Prabhupada has taught us that surrender is actually a very sweet word in Krishna consciousness, because it helps us, this principle helps us come closer to Krishna. And to improve the quality of our surrender, we are all at different levels struggling with our anarthas. Now, we can take examples from scriptures to improve the quality of our surrender and move forward. Like in every field, there are role models, there are heroes. And if you want to excel in that field, you hear about how they lived or how they acted. Like if somebody wants to excel in football and is a young teenager, so he's going to hear about how Ronaldo or Messi, how they train, what they do. It's inspiring to them. Like in India, cricket is very popular. Every young boy wants to be a cricket player. So you tell them anything about Tendulkar or Virat Kohli, you know, they are glued. What about them? So like that, in every field, if you want to be a great swimmer, then people hear about Michael Phelps, how he got so many gold medals. So we get inspired. So because we are sadhakas, our role models, the great devotees whose footsteps we want to follow, we want to serve Krishna. We hear about these great, wonderful devotees of Krishna who have served the Lord so beautifully, and they made the right choice when they were faced with provocations. So there are many examples in our scriptures, and Ramayana especially has many examples. Shabari, Jatayu, Vibhishan, Hanuman, Lakshman, Shatrughna. Each one of them, Urmila, and even Kaikeyi, interestingly, after she repented, it's interesting how she realized her mistake and she was repenting, and then she also wanted to live with Bharat in the forest, and she wanted to, like Bharat was living, performing a lot of austerities, she wanted to also perform austerities, and she wanted to live in that hut, small hut outside the palace as an atonement. But Bharat instructed her, no, your atonement will be to live in the palace, because that's what you wanted. You wanted opulence, you wanted kingdom for me. So now you live here, and for the next 14 years and go through that trauma, go through that purification, that this is what you wanted, and you will realize how hollow it is. So like this, you will see every character in Ramayana has set very high standards of sacrifice, surrender, love for the Lord. So we could take a few examples today, and we'll continue on Thursday. So one example that comes to my mind is of Hanuman. Now Hanuman has many aspects, we'll not take all of that. We'll just take one aspect, one conversation where we realize how Hanuman is revealing a very beautiful aspect of surrender and service to the Lord. See, we need to hear about these things. One more reason is because I was recently hearing my friend Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He was explaining about a concept in advertising. He said, people generally have linear desires. You know, I have a desire for something and the advertising world presents some product and we immediately grab that product. Because I have a desire, for the product comes in front of me, I grab it. But he said, people are not so simple. They also have what he called as triangular desires. They may not have a desire and they may not even need that product, but the advertising world so expertly presents some celebrity endorsing that product or somebody else talking about that product, and then you get excited and that need is created in the heart. So we see that always. You know, like for example, you know, we often think desires are linear, like you know, if I think on Thursday they make cheese on toast here for breakfast. So you see cheese on toast, I like it and it's there. So Hari Bol, I'm grateful. I honor that prasadam. But when I came first time, I remember somebody said this is avocado toast. I didn't know what avocado was. We don't get it in India so much. So I looked at it and I ignored it. And then I saw another devotee and he was tasting it and he was relishing it. And he said, it is really good. So that need was created in my heart. So I also took it. So that's how, you know, these many of them do this. So that there may be an iPhone, new model, and a great celebrity may endorse it. A great popular actor. And then we also feel like buying it. So that's how people get hooked. So similarly, in spiritual circles, we see that, see, material products, the desires are linear. It's straight. We know that I want this, and anybody triggers that desire, we immediately go for it. But spiritual subjects, spiritual principles, you know, because we don't have natural attraction for them in the conditioned stage, because we are in the material world, and we have come away from Krishna, so we may not have a natural attraction for deity worship, for glorifying Krishna, for hearing about Krishna. So when we hear about popular characters in the scriptures, like Hanuman, Vibhishan, how in provocative situations they made the right choice, how they served Krishna so wonderfully. So when we hear that, then we get inspired. So it's important to hear about the great devotees in Ramayana. And Hanuman presents a beautiful example. When he's with Mother Sita and he has to console her, he says something interesting. Madvishishtascha tulyascha santi tatravanokasaha mattaha pratyavara kaschid nasti sugriva sannido. So in Valmiki Ramayana, we find these beautiful verses where devotees show their natural humility in service to Lord Ram. Now before coming to Lanka, when there was a discussion about who will go to find out about Mother Sita, and Hanuman was convinced about his prowess, and Jambavan kind of reminded him. And they have a discussion where Hanuman confesses that yes, this is a very amazing task, an Herculean task which he is going to accomplish. And he reveals how only Garuda, Vayu and he himself could do this. So it's obvious that no one else can do this job. But when he's with Mother Sita, he is telling her, my dear mother, I have come here and I am trying to give you confidence, but please know that in my Sugriva, my king Sugriva's army, madvishishtascha tulyastha, everyone is either equal to me or better than me. Everyone is better than me in the army. And no one is inferior to me in Sugriva's army. Aham tavat iya prapta kim punaste mahabala nahi prakrishta preshyante preshyante hitare jana. My dear mother, just imagine, if I can come and create havoc here in Lanka, what about so many vanaras who are more powerful than me? And do you know something? Only lower status men are sent as messengers. The real powerful ones, they don't go as messengers. They are in the army. They are there waiting to attack after I go back with the message. So we see how Hanuman is naturally humble. He presents himself as inferior to give hope to Mother Sita. You know, in Krishna consciousness, to give hope to other devotees, to encourage them. Sometimes we may have to downplay ourselves. It's okay. It's worth it. If other devotees can become happy. Often we fall into the trap of presenting ourselves, me, as better or as the center. And that may not be conducive for the overall service. So there could be ego-centered service or seva, actually seva-centered. Wanting to please the Lord, wanting to please the devotees. Like often problems happen because, you know, when I'm ego-driven, I have an attitude. I've come, Prabhus, I'm there. I'll do this very nicely. I have a great plan. We are going to do something great, spectacular. Yes, we'll do it. For Krishna, of course. But I'm there. I will do it. I have a great plan. But pure devotees, their mood is what, you know? Their mood is plan. Already the Lord has made a plan. Lord has made a beautiful big plan to deliver the whole world. And I have to play my small part in this big plan. That way I am peaceful. And even the others whom I am serving and I am living with, they don't face so much anxiety. But if I is the center, we'll often see that I am in anxiety and I make others' lives also miserable. But if I acknowledge that the Lord is taking care, so Hanuman is in this mood, Lord has made a fantastic plan and I am playing my part. So this is a servant mood which Hanuman is revealing in the Ramayana. I think Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur made a very beautiful statement. He said, once we accept ourselves as a servant, then we are relieved of this big burden of trying to be the enjoyer in this world. So he calls the attempt to enjoy as a big burden that we are carrying. It's, you know, imagine carrying a big burden on the head. It's how stressful and tiring it is. So he says this is very, very unhealthy. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, it's a very nice pastime. Gopal Krishna Maharaj narrated that Akshayananda Maharaj and one more sannyasi, Amsaduta Maharaj, they were both with Srila Prabhupada, and there was some controversy going on, some confusion, devotees are having some camps, something like that. Some lot of misunderstanding was happening. So Srila Prabhupada, the whole thing came up to Srila Prabhupada, he had to resolve the confusion. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj was watching Srila Prabhupada deal with this. So he saw Srila Prabhupada call first, I think Akshayanand Maharaj, one of them, and he said, you are a sannyasi. And sannyasi means you should travel and preach. So what are you doing in Vrindavan? So you go out and you preach and once in a while come, and that way your sannyas ashram you will be able to maintain very nicely. So he inspired, and that Maharaj said, thank you Prabhupada, thank you for your instruction and guidance. Jaya Srila Prabhupada, and he left. Then he called the other sannyasi, I think it was Amsaduta Maharaj, and he said, you know, sannyasi means taking responsibility, and to take responsibility you have to stay in one place. And you have to dedicate yourself. So stay here and manage this very nicely and do your service nicely. So he said, yes Prabhupada, thank you for your instruction. So then he also left, and then Gopal Krishna Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are a genius. How you resolve this? And now there will be no problem. And Srila Prabhupada immediately said, no, there will be problem. As long as we think, I am the enjoyer, I am the master, there will be problem. And no problem. And Srila Prabhupada took his arms, put it behind his head, and he just relaxed on that seat he was sitting, and he said, no problem means I am a servant. When I am a servant, then there is no problem. I just want to serve. But if we don't establish ourselves in this position, then there will always be anxiety. So Hanuman is also revealing this. I am a servant. Lord Ram is making a beautiful plan. He has so many soldiers, so many vanaras. I will come. I will do my small part. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said that we can, as a team, achieve a lot if we don't care who gets the credit. If we don't care who actually becomes the hero. We just want to be servant. So it's a very rare quality to downplay the self and promote the mission or promote the overall interests. It's a very rare combination also of humility and courage which Hanuman displayed. Extremely humble but very courageous. Generally we think humility means, we equate many times humility with inaction. We think humility means, when we hear the word humility, the image that comes to our mind is, oh, somebody who has a certain kind of bodily posture or a certain look in the eyes or a tone in the voice. You know, we have certain concepts about humility. And we think courage means somebody who is very loud and is doing a lot of action. And Hanuman is amazing. Extremely courageous and also very humble, very sensitive. How he is encouraging Mother Sita. This is very rare. Generally when practicing religion, practicing spirituality, We have the best process, but we get carried away often. Like in India, we have this Ganesh festival, you must be aware. In India, it's a big thing, especially in Mumbai. They have a 10-day festival and they carry Lord Ganesh. And when that procession happens, there are a lot of ego clashes. So when two groups come with their Ganesh, they want to immerse it in the ocean. For there is a kind of a traffic jam caused by both. So each group says, our Ganesh will go first. So it's not about God, it's about me. there is a song, very popular song in India. Every Ganesh festival they play this song. It says, Deva ho Deva, Ganpati Deva, Tumse Badkar Kaun. Oh Ganpati ji, you Ganesh, you are the greatest God. Who is greater than you? And the next line says, Aur Tumare Bhakt Jano Mein Humse Badkar Kaun. And amongst your devotees, I am the greatest. Who is better than me? This is exactly opposite of the Ramayana culture. So Hanuman is teaching us an important lesson that to keep the Lord's mission ahead and to downplay the self. And he's so sensitive. Hanuman is so so amazing that when he comes back to Ram, and Lord Ram is glorifying everyone, and he says what Hanuman has done, nobody has done. And Hanuman have not just protected Sita, but he has protected Lakshman and myself. This is the way Ram gives credit to Hanuman. And then he tells Hanuman, I am very poor. I cannot repay for what you have done. The only thing I can do is to express my gratitude. It's very interesting. What Lord Ram says, what is the only thing I can do to express my gratitude to you? Esha sarvasva bhutastu parishvango hanumatah maya kalam imam prapya dattastasya mahatmana. My dear Hanuman, I can only offer you an embrace. This is the only wealth I have. With gratitude he embraces. And Sugriva and Hanuman, look at their mood of service to Lord Ram. They want Ram to feel so important and confident, because Ram starts lamenting then. He says, how will we cross the ocean? And how will we be able to recover Mother Sita? He's talking about Sita, and Hanuman, he realizes that Lord Ram is nervous about recovering Mother Sita. Sugriva realizes that he is nervous. He's not confident of retrieving Mother Sita. So Sugriva and Hanuman, how they console is very interesting. Sugriva sees that Ram is lamenting. Immediately he interrupts Lord Ram. And he says, lamentation is very harmful, my dear Lord. If you lament, you spoil your chances of victory against Ravan. We will think of a plan to cross over the ocean. And no one can match you. No one can match your soldiers. We will conquer Ravan with mere stones and trees. Now it's interesting. It's Lord Ram who made the ocean make way. He is the one who empowered his servant Hanuman to jump over to Lanka. But he is being vulnerable. Sometimes we think leader means he is in complete control of everything and he is great. But sometimes to be vulnerable with the right person, it's not bad. It's actually healthy. So here Lord Ram is, he is expressing his concern, and then Sugriva and Hanuman are consoling. It's interesting. Hanuman jumped over. Hanuman was empowered by Ram, but same Ram, he has to walk towards Lanka. Lord likes to glorify his servant. And the servant always wants to glorify the Lord. That is the mood in which they serve and they reciprocate. Srila Prabhupada once said that one devotee asked if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have spread the holy name in every town and village himself, why he didn't do it? Srila Prabhupada said, because the Lord wants to give credit to his devotees like myself. He wants me to get that credit. Lord can do anything. So this is the best combination. The devotee is glorifying the Lord, and the Lord is always glorifying his devotee and is making him get the credit. Like in Bhagavad Gita, we see Krishna tells Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhavasavya Sachi, just be an instrument, I have already killed all the soldiers of the enemy. It's like he is telling you shoot arrows and you fight, but I have already done the job. And Krishna glorifies his instrument. You will never find in the material world anybody glorifying an instrument. Like in India, we have this very competitive IAS exams. Millions of people appear for this exam. And when the person who tops this exam, it's like in all over the media. And he is saying, he gives credit to so many people. But he'll never take out his pen and say, I passed this exam because of this pen. The pen was just an instrument in writing the exam. But that's what Krishna is doing with Arjuna. Arjuna is using the Pandavas as an instrument, but he is glorifying them as great heroes. And Lord Ram, when he is being consoled by Sugriva and Hanuman, he asks Hanuman, "You've been to Lanka. Can you describe what are the security arrangements there? What is the way the whole Ravana's army is arranged?" But then Hanuman starts describing that on the western gate there are 1 million soldiers, on the central gate there are 2 million, and on the northern gate there are so many soldiers who are guarding. And as he's describing, Hanuman is so sensitive, he realizes, oh, maybe Lord Ram may feel little discouraged. So immediately he clarifies. He says, although there are so many soldiers, but I've analyzed them very nicely, my dear Lord. Very minutely I've analyzed their strengths and weaknesses, and I'm confident that just the six of our people, Angada, Dvivida, Mainda, Jambavan, Nala and Nila, these six can destroy the whole of Ravana's army. Actually, you don't need to take all the monkeys also. You can station them here. They will finish the job and come back. So this is the way he is giving confidence to Lord Ram. This is Srila Prabhupada writes about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita very beautifully in the section where Haridas Thakur is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling Haridas Thakur that, you know, I am in great anxiety. How will these Yavanas be delivered? They are so far away from Krishna. And Haridas Thakur tells Lord Chaitanya, Haridas kahe Prabhu chinta na kuriya. Haridas tells the Lord, my dear Lord, chinta na kuriya. You please don't be in anxiety. Haridas kahe Prabhu chinta na kuriya. Yavanera samsara deki dukha na bhaviya. You please don't be sad. They are delivered. You are having a desire, it will happen, my dear Lord. So Haridas Thakur, look at the servant's mood. Servant is consoling and encouraging the master. Because the time may come when the master may need encouragement. That's what the Lord is arranging in such a way. And Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport, he begins the purport by writing, the first sentence he writes is, this is service. To encourage the Lord, a devotee does this service also. He says, this is service. What is service? To relieve the Lord of his anxiety is service. In Kanishta stage, neophyte stage, we cause anxiety to our master, to our leader. An advanced devotee relieves the Lord of his anxiety. That is the difference between Kanishta and Madhyama. That's why you will see that the spiritual master may love everyone, but he will trust a few who actually are focused on relieving him of his anxiety. So like this, it's a beautiful pastime. But you will see, we will now go to Lanka and see the mood there. It's what a contrast you will find. So when we hear this, you know, when we hear this, we will be inspired to also follow the footsteps of these great devotees. So in Lanka, there is a completely different mood by the leader and the servants. So Ravan calls for a meeting, because after Hanuman has left, after creating a havoc there, he has destroyed everything. So Ravan calls for a meeting, and what Ravan speaks, if you read only this section in the Ramayana, if you enter Ramayana at this point of time, you will think Ravan is a wonderful person. You know what Ravan says? Ravan says, I see that there is a huge ocean beyond this ocean of an army of Ram and Lakshman. And now they are going to come to Lanka. And what we need to do, I need to ask all of you, because there are three kinds of human beings. First are called as Uttama, who will always take consultation and who will always act based on the advice and guidance of superiors. And there are Madhyama class of people who act impulsively, but then they understand that they have made a mistake and then they take guidance. And there are lower class of people who act always whimsically and they don't care for any authority. So I want to ask all of your opinion and act according to your guidance. So in other words, he's saying that he is trying to say that he is Uttama. So if you enter Ramayana at this stage, you will think, wow, what a nice mood he has. But he is actually not like that. It's one thing to speak like this, and to act is completely different. That's why we never quote Ravan. We don't say, as Ravan said, there are three kinds of human beings. Because he doesn't walk, he talks. Like Hiranyakashipu, consoles his mother and his sister-in-law after Hiranyaksha is killed. In the 7th canto, 1st chapter, we find beautiful verses. Jai Shri Radha Gokula Anand ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. So, Hiranyakashipu, but we don't glorify Hiranyakashipu, right? We don't say, as Hiranyakashipu says, that we are not the body, we are the soul. He gives powerful instructions. So, Ravan is asking for guidance, and you will find very interesting explanations given by the different ministers of Ravan. Prastha says, my dear king, oh, let the army come. We are there to finish them off. And then he says, my dear king, I know you are worrying. Oh, this one monkey came and destroyed Lanka. Don't give it too much importance. That monkey could do that because we were not prepared. It was a freak accident. It was just, we are there. This time we are prepared. And then Ravan looks at Durmukha. Durmukha is another minister. And he says, why have you called this meeting, my dear king? I alone will go and destroy them. Just relax, all of you relax here. And Nikumba is son of Kumbhakaran. He says, I think what we'll do, I will go and finish off Ram and Lakshman, and rest of the army you can take care of. So each one of them speaks super confident speeches. So Ravan is happy to hear all of this. But he looks at Vibhishan. Vibhishan has not spoken till now. And Vibhishan immediately says, he doesn't mince words. He says, what offense did Ram commit that you kidnapped his wife Sita? And war, why is everybody talking about war? War is the last option. We should engage in war only when our enemy is very weak or we have no other option left. And Ravan says, no, but these Ram and Lakshman, they killed my brothers. Kara, Dushan, they mutilated Shurpanka, my sister. So immediately Vibhishan clarifies. He says, it is our sister Shurpanka's fault. She poked her nose, so her nose got cut. And Kara and Dushan, they deserve to be killed. They were trying to harm. Ram was alone, living peacefully in the forest. So my proposal is, Vibhishan declares, let us return Mother Sita because we are the wrongdoers and a great danger lies ahead. So Ravan is so shocked because Vibhishan had never spoken to him like this in the assembly. So Ravan immediately adjourns the meeting. He says, we will meet again tomorrow because right now, you know, we will stop the meeting. So Ravan stops the meeting. And then outside he meets Vibhishan and he says, what are you saying? And Vibhishan says, my dear brother, but please see, overall in this kingdom there are so many inauspicious signs. You see, the fire for Yajna is not lighting up. The cows are not giving milk anymore. The horses are crying. There are strange, eerie sounds coming everywhere. And Ravan says, what inauspicious signs? I don't see any inauspicious signs. I only see Sita everywhere. And I am captured by her beauty. I want all of you to support me in my decision. So remember, just a few moments ago, he had explained about three kinds of people. And now he's clearly showing what is his standard. So he says, I want... then the meeting is called again the next day. And the next day is a very interesting meeting because it is the day Kumbhakaran wakes up. Twice a year, Kumbhakaran wakes up. So Ravan says, today's meeting has been called because today is the day Kumbhakaran wakes up and is now coming to the assembly. So let us welcome him in a traditional style by three times loudly chanting Hari Bol. So he's called. So Kumbhakaran comes and he doesn't know anything. He's been sleeping for 6 months. He doesn't know what has happened. So when Kumbhakaran comes and he's seated, Ravan says that I'm very attracted by Sita's beauty. All of you should know this. And for your information, I have proposed to her and she has asked for some time. He doesn't say what Sita's mood is actually. He conceals the whole information. He says, she is more or less decided to marry me, but she just needs some more time. But meanwhile, Ram has come with his brother Lakshman and his army of Vanaras. So, what should we do? I need your guidance. And he looks at Kumbhakaran, because others have already given their opinion. And Kumbhakaran, do you know what is his first reaction? He says, my dear brother, this is an assembly of fools. You are asking all of our advice, but why didn't you ask our advice before kidnapping Sita? You have cheated and you have kidnapped. You will regret. Ram will kill you. You are lucky that he has not yet killed you. But still, I will protect you. See, this is a demoniac mentality. He knows what is right, what is wrong. But he says, see, the demons think like this. He is my brother, no? My brother. It's not the question of right and wrong. My brother, so I will protect you. So, and then he says, Sita, my dear brother, Sita will be yours. Don't worry. Srila Prabhupada says, no, if somebody doesn't know something and he does wrong, Prabhupada would call him fool. But if somebody knowingly would do that or repeat it, then Srila Prabhupada would call him rascal. So, it's interesting. Kumbhakaran gets the realization, but it's immediately covered over. That is called a lightning realization, you know. And there is a difference between lightning and sunlight. Lightning realization is, yes, this is God. But immediately, lightning goes away in 1 second. But we want sunlight. Krishna sadam upagate jnana dharmabhisa kalo nashta drishameva puran arko dunodita. We want the sunlight of Bhagavatam. We want the sunlight of Krishna consciousness. We don't want a flash. Like Duryodhan also got a realization. When Arjuna came, when Duryodhan took 5 arrows from Bhishma to kill Pandavas, Krishna comes to know because he is Paramatma. He sent Arjuna to retrieve those 5 arrows. And when Arjuna took those 5 arrows from Duryodhan, Duryodhan was shocked. He said, nobody knows that I got this special 5 arrows. Who told you? Arjuna says, Krishna told me. Krishna? He must be God. Krishna is God. Pandavas will win the war. But no, I will win the war. This is their false utsahamai, false confidence. So as Kumbhakarna assures Ravan, Ravan feels little alright. And then Mahaparshva says, my dear king, I am amazed that if one goes to a deadly forest filled with cobras and tigers and lions and beasts and still manages to somehow get the honey from that forest, and if he doesn't enjoy that honey, he is a fool. So you have taken great risk to kidnap Sita, but you're not enjoying her. Why? Why are you worrying? What are you worrying about? Your son Indrajit is here. I am here. Kumbhakaran is here. Just go. So he encourages Ravan to go and molest Mother Sita. And Ravan, in India, there are many people who think Ravan was a very nice person. He didn't harm Mother Sita, although he had kidnapped her. But they don't know the real story. Ramayana reveals the real reason why Ravan didn't harm Mother Sita. Because Ravan was cursed by Brahmaji that because he had molested many women and he had forced himself upon them against their wishes. So Brahmaji had, once when he had done that with Rambha, Brahmaji had cursed him that if you ever again force yourself on a woman, you will die immediately. So because of that, not that Ravan was very nice and very gracious, no. In India, they don't know this. There was a television serial some years ago. The entire television serial, I think there were some 50 episodes. The whole serial was glorification of Ravan. It was called Ravan the Great. And all the posters were Bhakti, Shakti Deki, Bhakti Ni Deki. You have seen strength of Ravan, but you haven't seen devotion of Ravan. You have seen strength of Ravan, but not devotion. So anyway, so in India, it's very popular. Ravan, there is a group of people who worship Ravan in South India. So when Mahaparshva offers this advice, Vibhishan becomes alarmed. Vibhishan says, my dear brother, somebody has put a deadly cobra called Sita on your neck. Immediately release yourself from the grip of this poisonous snake. Jeevan sturamasya namoksha setvam gupta savitva patava maruddhi. Navasa vasyangak gatanaha mrityo nrubo na patalam anupravishtha. Nrubo na patalam. You may go to the sky, my dear brother. You may go to the heavens. You may go to Patala. But Lord Ram's arrows will reach you. Sun, wind, Yamraj, no one can protect you. And when Vibhishan says this, Prastha gets angry. He says, my dear king, don't listen to your brother Vibhishan because we don't know what is fear. You have defeated Yakshas, Gandharvas, Nagas. And Vibhishan immediately interrupts Prastha. He says, my dear Prastha, just like an unqualified man cannot go to heaven, similarly you cannot get success by taking the side of Adharma. Oh foolish Prastha, you are talking all these big things. You are talking all this because Lord Ram's arrows have not hit you. Please know, all of you in this assembly, that our king Ravan is a slave of his senses. He can't think clearly because his heart has become hard. And unfortunately, his worst enemies have come in the disguise of his friends. Now it is the time we repay our debt to Ravan. Ravan has given you such a nice position. He has made you ministers. He has given you so much wealth, so much position. Now it is the time to repay him and serve him. A deadly python has grabbed our king. Let us pull him out of the clutches of this python. A powerful ghost has possessed our king. Now I request this assembly that use all your power to help him, even if it means to forcibly drag him by the hair. This is the time we have to save our king. He has been blinded by lust. The ocean of Lord Ram is about to drown our beloved king Ravan. I am speaking for the welfare of all. Please return Mother Sita, because there is a great danger lying at the doorstep of our kingdom. And no one is able to believe. What Vibhishan says doesn't make any sense to Ravan. In fact, Ravan gets agitated. Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse. Payopanam bhujanganam kevalam vishavardhanam upadeshoi murkhanam prakopayana shantai. Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse to say how, if you advise a foolish person something good, instead of listening to, he gets more angry. Payopanam bhujanganam kevalam vishavardhanam. If you feed milk to a poisonous snake, this is a fable, it may not be the scientifically proven, but that it is said that how if you feed milk to a poisonous snake, its poison increases. Similarly, if you give good advice to a fool, upadeshoi murkanam prakopayana, he becomes more agitated. And Srila Prabhupada would narrate this story from the Itopadesh, where one monkey was getting wet in the rain and he was so disturbed. And the birds were in the nest on the tree and they looked at the monkey and said, my dear monkey, why are you getting, it's raining and it is so cold and you are getting wet. Look at us, we have made a nest and we are safe. Why don't you also make some nest, make some dwelling for you, for yourself? And immediately the monkey, instead of listening to the advice, he got angry. He said, how dare you advise me? So he climbed the tree and destroyed the nest. So Srila Prabhupada would say, therefore, you know, some foolish people, you just can't advise them. That's why Indrajit, when he hears all this discussion going on, Indrajit is the person who has defeated Indra. That's why he got the name Indrajit, and he's the son of Ravan. And he says, these are all meaningless words which Vibhishan is speaking. He's not of our race. I think he is the only one in this assembly who is devoid of strength and valor, and I think he is not from our race. I think he is a disgrace. And my dear father, even an ordinary soldier in our army can defeat Ram and Lakshman. So I think cowards, they try to make others also fearful. I have defeated Indra, I have broken Airavat's teeth, and you are saying we should be afraid of two ordinary humans? And when Indrajit speaks like this, Vibhishan gets really angry. Till now he was trying to be very gentle. And now he loses his cool. He says, Indrajit, you are a kid, an arrogant one. Your intelligence is polluted. You lack maturity. In fact, you are not your father's son. I think you are the son of his enemy. And you deserve to be killed. In fact, the one who called you in this assembly, he deserves to be killed also. Don't you realize a great tragedy is befalling Lanka? And at this time, finally, Ravan speaks for the last time in this assembly. Now, Valmiki Muni writes, before Ravan, what Ravan is going to say now is very interesting. But before that, Valmiki says, time was hovering on Ravana's head. And Ravan says, today I have realized that it is okay to live with a deadly snake, but we should never live with one who claims to be a friend, but is actually our enemy's servant. This confirms the nature of this world, that our relatives are our worst enemies because they celebrate our suffering. And it is natural that my brother Vibhishan is envious of me because I have done excellent administration of Lanka. I am a just ruler, I am righteous, so envy is natural. And I know that relatives, such kind of relatives, don't hesitate to put fire on your house. They give you poison secretly, they use weapons against you, and they kidnap women. He's the one who's done it. But he's saying, this is what envious relatives will do. When I was reading this, and I was so fascinated, I was saying, how our intelligence can be clouded. This is similar to what Kamsa says. If you read, when Kamsa is talking to Akrura, Kamsa gives a whole plan, how he is going to arrest Ugrasen, and how he is going to do this, and finally I was going to tie up with all the Asuras. And then the last statement he tells Akrura is, and then the earth will be freed of all the evil influences. So Ravan is also speaking like that. So then finally Ravan says, we should not be afraid of any weapons or any enemies, but the only fear we should have is from selfish brothers. So Vibhishan, you are a disgrace. If somebody else had spoken like this, I would have killed him. At this point of time, Vibhishan picks up his mace, and he has four trusted assistants. They rise to the sky, and Vibhishan folds his hands, and he says, you are my older brother, and you are worshipable to me like my own father. But I cannot tolerate these hurting words. Sulabha Purusha Rajan Satatam Priyavadina Apriyasya Cha Payascha Vakta Shrotha Cha Durlabha. He says, my dear brother, it is very easy to find people who will agree with you and who will speak agreeable words and nice words. Apriyasya Cha Payascha. But those who speak the bitter truth are very rare. And I am your well-wisher. Vadam kalasya pashena sarvabhuta paharina na nashyantum upekshetvam pradeeptam sharanam yatha. You are bound by time, and I could not ignore to see you being destroyed. There is a huge fire that is destroying you. I am trying to save you. If you didn't like what I said, please forgive me. Please protect your Lanka and be happy without me. Saying this, Vibhishan leaves. Now you may think Vibhishan had a warm welcome and reception at Ram's camp. No. Vibhishan faced a lot of challenges. But here today what we have discussed is Ravana's situation. Ravana had two people who influenced him. Who could have, you know, like Vibhishan could have influenced him to do good, but Ravan chose to be influenced by whom? Shurpanka. See, we in our lives also we have Shurpanka like people who could entice us and trigger us to allow our lower nature to come out. And we could also have people like Vibhishan who are there to guide us, to help us do the right thing. So we have to make a choice. Ravan made the wrong choice. Actually, Ravan was convinced not to attack Ram. When Maricha convinced him, Ravan had come back saying that maybe in future our roads will meet again, we'll cross each other's path. Let Ram be in forest, enjoy with his wife Sita. That's what Ravan had concluded. And he came back to live peacefully. Then Shurpanka came, and Shurpanka started blasting Ravan in the assembly, and she publicly insulted him, and Ravan was still telling Shurpanka that it's your fault. And that's when Shurpanka played, she twisted the whole story. She said, I had gone there to actually get Sita for you. That's when the story takes a turn. And then she starts describing Sita's beauty, and Ravana's lust is inside her. And she had a score to settle also. She had her own axe to grind. Because Ravan, see, you know, in corporate culture, in India, politics also this happens many times. People use women as a tool. So Ravan thought he will use Sita to get revenge against Ram. That's what initially Ravan thought. But Shurpanka was even better, smarter. She used Ravan to fulfill her own anger. Shurpanka, her husband's name was Dushta Buddhi. He was a nice name, which literally means a polluted intelligence. Evil, wicked intelligence. So Dushta Buddhi was a general in Ravana's army, and he was the husband of Shurpanka, and he became very powerful, and he was growing very powerful. So Ravan became insecure. Ravan thought this guy is going to exceed man, and he can't. But Ravan couldn't kill him because he is the brother, he is the husband of his own sister. So Ravan did politics. He sent Dushtabuddhi on a very difficult mission, and he gave very little help. So Dushtabuddhi was struggling, and he was asking for help. And then Ravan sent help, but very late. But meanwhile, Dushtabuddhi was killed. So when Shurpanakha came to know, she was wondering, how could my husband be killed? He is as powerful as Ravan. So then she did some investigation and she found out, oh, my brother did this because he was insecure, so he did politics. So she wanted to take revenge on Ravan. So she used Ravan. So like this, Shurpanakha, she influenced Ravan, and Vibhishan couldn't. So we, in our lives also, we have a choice. Who is controlling our life? Who is using us? Maya, through our advertising agencies, through the internet, enticing us, triggering our lower nature, or Vibhishan, who is there to give us good advice. So, next time, day after tomorrow, we'll discuss how Vibhishan is received in Ram's camp. Everyone suspects him. But how does Lord Ram respond to Vibhishan's appeal? So, we'll discuss that next time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.